Welcome into another episode of American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. An EPA advisory panel recommends the agency continue to protect water rule exemptions for farm features as it rewrites the Trump Navigable Waters Protection Rule that replaced WOTUS. EPA's Farm, Ranch, and Rural Communities Advisory Panel calls for a clear and limited WOTUS definition with exemptions for ditches, stock ponds, prairie potholes, and prior converted cropland, though it's no guarantee EPA Chief Michael Regan will go along. National Cattleman Scott Yeager says that would be a mistake.
While not perfect, the Navigable Waters Protection Rule worked for farmers and ranchers. So there is a political calculus here, and they will be losing votes, in my opinion, by going down a path and creating a rule that doesn't work for producers.
American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval says farmers and ranchers already had the best deal they could get with the Navigable Waters Protection Rule that replaced the Obama-era WOTUS rule.
They wanted to be simplified to where they didn't have to go hire lawyers and consultants to interpret it, and they wanted it to be very clear to them what are waters of the U.S. and what are not waters of the U.S. And we think we got as close as we could get in accomplishing that. But to back up now and say we're going to redo it is just really frustrating for our farmers.
Duval stresses the importance of keeping the word navigable in any new rule and defining it properly, something Farm Bureau is pressing as the EPA takes public comment to prepare WOTUS 2.0. USDA's Economic Research Service reports most values of cotton, dairy, and specialty crops are produced on large-scale family farms. According to 2020 data, USDA defines a family farm as one in which the principal operator and related family own the majority of the assets used in the operation. Large-scale family farms have an annual gross cash farm income of $1 million or more. However, small family farms produce the bulk of hay production, 59%, and poultry and egg output, 49% in 2020. Poultry operations are often classified as small because most output is under a production contract arrangement, with a contractor paying a fee to a farmer who raises poultry to maturity. Additionally, more than one quarter of beef production occurred on small family farms that generally have cow-calf operations. Another 42% of beef production occurred on large-scale family farms, which are more likely to operate feedlots. Land sales continued at a torrid pace at Farmers National Company during the last quarter of 2021. The dollar volume of land sold by the company during October through December was up 53% compared to last year and up 106% from 2 years ago. The number of transactions was up 23% and total acres sold were up 11% year over year. This was indicative of the increase in the selling of land in various regions. Sellers came to the land market because of the opportunity to capture the much higher land prices and for some to get ahead of what was once thought to be potential tax changes. Iowa continued to be the most active with selling and with setting new price highs. Going forward, Farmers National Company says land sales activity for the first quarter of 2022 seems to be leveling off to more normal for this time of year. The National Milk Producers Federation and the U.S. Dairy Export Council are applauding this month's decision that Canada improperly restricted access for American dairy producers. The ruling by the USMCA dispute settlement panel is the first under the updated trilateral trade agreement. NMPF Executive Vice President Jamie Castaneda says much of the new small access the U.S. gained during the USMCA negotiations was being given to Canadian producers.
When the Canadian government was doing that, they were preventing the United States from selling the high-value products directly to retail or to restaurants. The processors, they were not buying everything that the negotiations permitted.
As a result, NMPF continued, U.S. dairy farmers and exporters have been unable to make full use of USMCA's benefits. Castaneda says when USMCA is followed the way it's currently written, American dairy producers stand to benefit considerably.
Dairy farmers and dairy manufacturers that comply with their commitment will be able to actually sell high-value products and fill the quotas that we gained through the negotiation.
The case was brought forward in May of 2021 by the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative following persistent advocacy from NMPF and USDEC. Blue Diamond Almonds is doing big business on Amazon. Blue Diamond Growers CEO Mark Jensen says it started 3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago, we were in strategic planning and seeing what was happening and realized that we had to get dramatically better at e-commerce. So I think if we do this right, Amazon can become one of our top five largest customers within 5 years. And at the time, I believe it was still had nice business, but it was like our 87th largest customer at that time. So what we did is we overinvested to develop our muscle around e-commerce. We hired away a director of e-commerce from Conagra, which is a much, much bigger food company. I think most people don't realize that being on a scale basis working in e-commerce requires many changes within your supply chain and customer service and your web presence. It's not as easy as just hopping on Amazon and selling something.
Jensen says Blue Diamond growers were doubling and tripling their business over the last couple of years.
This past year, we did that. We more than doubled it again. And certainly the COVID pandemic accelerated those efforts for us. And so Amazon, and it didn't take 5 years, it was just over 3 years, became a top five customer for us.
That's Blue Diamond Growers CEO, Mark Jansen. National Pork Board and Michigan State University developed a database of research on potential public health outcomes related to livestock production. Dr. Heather Fowler, Director of Producer and Public Health, says this living literature review will allow for consistent updates as research publishes.
With the living literature review concept, by storing it online, you're able to add in new papers, update the interpretations. So when we talk about that living lit review, it's making sure that that body of literature or science as it relates to a given topic never goes out of date.
The swine industry has numerous topics being repeatedly studied and reviewed. This living literature database gathers all those research papers together in one secure, publicly available spot. Producers can use that information to dismiss misconceptions and share their story.
If they're going to a town hall or they're trying to educate people on the topic of community environmental health around pig farms, they can say, oh, if you really want to know the truth lies in the data, and it's the entire body of literature again, not just that one paper that says this or the one paper that says that.
This database is one example of checkoff dollars being used to develop resources and collaborate with science-forward academic organizations, Dr. Fowler explains.
By using pork checkoff dollars to fund research to create this living lit review, we're again giving our producers additional tools they can use to continue to share the science of environmental health within the swine industry.
The wide array of worldwide research papers can be found at syreaf.org. That's syreaf.org. Click on Living Review in the black banner. And this has been American Ag Today, produced by the American Ag Network. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a great rest of your day.